This is Victorious.
Numbers chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 22 to verse 27. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise he shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So by the grace of God, my message this morning is going to be titled, My Most Important Message to You, or My Most Important Message for You as a Church. This is my first time of coming to this church, and I have a very important message, which I believe is very important to you. So let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you for the opportunity you have given us to come into your presence. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I'm called by your name. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 162, I rejoice at thy word like one that have found great spoil. Father God, we want to thank you for your word. Nothing compares to your word, and we rejoice in it today, and we pray that it will affect us positively and bring out the best of what you have put within us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Quite a number of things about God is very amazing. Quite a number of things about God. His love is amazing. His mercy is amazing. His person is amazing. His existence is amazing. He's self-existent. He calls himself, I am that I am, which simply means that he does not depend on anything outside himself for his survival. You cannot say, I am that I am, because you depend on someone else. Your place of work, you depend on the police to keep you safe. You depend on your wife or husband for one thing or the other. You depend on one person or the other, your laundryman, your whatever. We depend on people. But God says, I am that I am. So many things are fantastic about him. But you see, of the many things fantastic about God that I've come to discover are his words. His words are the most fantastic thing about him. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, the name of the Lord is a very great thing. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. But by the time we read Psalm 138, verse 2, he says, God have highly exalted his word above his name. You know, Job 22:22 says, Receive, I pray you, the law from his mouth. So one outstanding thing about God are his words. His words. Isaiah 9:8 said he sent a word to Jacob, and it became the light within which Israel traveled. So the words of God are so, outstanding. His words are very outstanding. Job said in Job 23:12, he said, I have esteemed the word of his mouth, necessary unto me than my food. Okay, Jeremiah 15:16 says, Your words were found, and I did eat them. So, one outstanding thing about God are his words. I mean, Luke 16:17 says, It's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for a jot or a tittle of God's law to fail. Matthew 5:18 says, Till heaven and earth pass away, not even a jot of God's law will fail. You know, Luke 21:33, Matthew 24:35 said, The heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So one of the outstanding things about God are his words. In the book of Psalm 68, verse 11, said he sent his word. In Psalm 68, he says, God gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. He sent his word. Psalm 107, verse 20, and his word healed them, and his word delivered them. I mean, one thing about God that is very outstanding are his words. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 128, I have esteemed your word concerning everything to be true, and that has kept me from every false way. So one of the most outstanding, amazing things about God are his words. But in talking about that, I'm even talking about God the Father. When Jesus Christ came, one of the most outstanding things about Jesus were the words that he spoke. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 22, the Bible says, as he was speaking, the people wondered at the gracious words that were coming out of his mouth. By the time you read verse 32 of Luke 4, the Bible says the people were astonished at his doctrine because his word was with power. He didn't speak like one of the scribes or the Pharisees. And by the time you read verse 36 of Luke 4, the Bible says the people were amazed and they said to one another, "What a word is this?" When the word of God was describing him in Luke 24, 19, he said he was a man mighty in words and in deed. Not just the miracles, but the words that came out of his mouth. I mean, his words were so captivating that we are told in Luke 10, 39, that Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. She lost appetite for food. The words were so important to her. And the way Jesus spoke, one time they sent somebody, go and capture him, go and bring him. When that person got there, the person came back without capturing him. And they said, "Why didn't you bring him?" John 7, 46. He said, "Never a man spoke like this before." So one thing about Jesus were his words. I mean, one of the earlier gifts I had as a young Christian was a Bible, they call it Red Letter Edition. You know, where in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, words that Jesus spoke were written in red. I mean, it fascinated me as a young Christian. And, you know, and I just wondered how he spoke, when he spoke, the way he spoke, the way he even quoted from various parts of the scriptures that were written before he came. You know, so one thing about Jesus, his words. One thing about God, his words. And then one thing about the Holy Spirit, his words. Revelations 2:7, Revelations 2:11, Revelations 2:17, Revelations 2:29. Revelations 3:6, 3:13, 3:22, he said, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." You know, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So one outstanding thing about God are his words. Very, very important. His words are quick and powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, "Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit." See, discern of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. So God's word, whether you're talking about God the Father, God's word, whether you're talking about God the Son, and God's word, whether you're talking about what the Spirit says, they are very exceptional and outstanding things. Isaiah 30:21 said, "Thou shalt hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." 1 Timothy 4:1 said, "The Spirit of God speaketh expressly." So one thing I find very amazing, the words of God, whether you are talking about God the Father or talking about God the Son or talking about the God the Holy Spirit. And as a young Christian, because I saw that something about his words, that their words were very significant, I also knew that he wanted certain things about my own words to also be very significant. So as a young Christian, I knew one of the things that I needed to do was to send my tongue to school. I needed to learn how to speak as I should speak. I needed to learn how to speak when I should speak. I needed to learn how to speak what I should say. So one of the areas you need education is to send your mouth to school by learning how to speak. The psalmist said in Psalm 45 verse 1, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." In Psalm 39 verse 1, he says, "I will bridle my tongue, which I will keep my tongue with a bridle while the wicked is before me." So the words of our mouth are so important. And this is an area where you and I need to be very careful. More than anything else, God wants you to speak the way he spoke. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, he said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say." So the reason why God spoke the way he spoke is that you and I will copy him. You know, we are told in the scriptures that we should be imitators of God. In other words, we should try and be like him. You know, Colossians 3:10 says, "We are renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created us." Luke chapter 6, verse 40 says, "The disciple cannot be greater than his master. He that shall be perfect shall be like his master." So God also wants us in our speech to be very careful. He wants us in our speech to be very careful as to how you use our words. The Bible said, if you don't know how to talk, your religion is in vain. James 1:26. "Whosoever seems to be religious and does not bridle his mouth, but deceiveth his own heart, that person's religion is in vain." Proverbs 18:20. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So Our words are very important. Proverbs 6:2 said, you are snared by the words of your mouth, you are held captive by the words of your lips. Proverbs 13, verse 3 says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Proverbs 21:23 says, he that keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. So it's very important for you to be careful how you use your mouth. You know, you got saved by using your mouth right. You didn't get saved by coming to church. You got saved by using your mouth right. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God have raised him from the dead, he said, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want you to listen to me today. My greatest, my most important message to you. So it's important for you to know how to use your mouth, whether you know it or not. Because if you are going to live by faith, the word of God tells us the spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We all, having the spirit of faith, we believe and not, therefore we speak. You know, so it means our speaking is so important. According to Isaiah 29:21, you can be made an offender because of the words of your mouth. Your words of your mouth, the words of your mouth chart a course for the direction in which your life will eventually go. Job chapter 9 verse 20, Job 15 verse 6, he said, my own mouth condemneth me and not you. Many of the things that put us in trouble is our mouth. The children of Israel would never enter into the promised land. What was their fault? Was it the giants? No. The words of their mouth. Numbers 14, 28. God said, as long as I live, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. If the way I speak is what will determine what God will do, then which means the words of my mouth are capital that I give God with which he can do business in my life. So I need to be very careful as to the words that are allowed to come out of my mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 15 verse 4. He said, if a tongue that is not in the right shape is creates a breach in the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. The psalmist said in Psalm 19 verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Psalm 49:3 says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. So one outstanding thing about God are his words. One outstanding about Jesus, his words. One outstanding about the Holy Spirit, his words. And one thing he wants you to be outstanding about you are your words. Our words are so important, and I want to remind us of a few things here. In the Bible, even in the Old Testament, thus yet the Lord appeared 2,700 times. You know, and the Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's why Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my saying. Don't let them depart from before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life to them that find it, and medicine to all their flesh. That's how powerful God's words are. And the words we speak are life and medicine. If you read Proverbs 16:24, it says, pleasant words are like honey, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So your words are very important. I want us to know this. Your words can build up and they can tear down. Your words can develop and they can destroy. Your words can help and they can hurt. Your words can heal and they can harm. Your words can give life and they can kill. Your words can be fruits or they can be poison. Your words can be bullets or they can be seeds. So we need to be very careful as to how we use our mouth. In the next few minutes, I want to tell you 5 very important ways in which God wanted to use your mouth. Remember, I'm speaking on God's my most important message to you as a church. What is my most important message? When I was coming, this was the primary thing in my heart. And I will tell you what it is by the time I get there. But I'm just trying to let you know the place and the power of words that are spoken. You see, because some people are waiting for prayer. Some people are waiting for you to lay hands on them. Some people are waiting for you to give them a bottle of oil that they'll be drinking spoonful every day. Some people are looking for a piece of rag that you give them. The most important thing you can get is words. That's the most important thing. He sent his word. The centurion told Jesus Christ in Matthew 8:8, Luke 7:7, says, speak the word. Peter said, we have toiled all night, we caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. One of my sons offended me in ministry, and when he offended me, I was very unhappy. And when I went to his church, you know, you had to beg and all that. Okay, to err is human, to forgive is divine. Though when you err, you know you are erring. James 1:16 says, brethren, do not err. So when he erred, I went to his church, and all I did was spoke words. That's all. I spoke words, and I left the place. You know, and he rejoiced at that word. But from that day, everything changed about his ministry. Through what? Words. Silver or gold have I known, Peter said, but what? Such as I have. What did he have? Words. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up, go home. That's, and the man stood up. This man has been crippled for years. And the man stood up and went. So if your mouth can be that effective, why use it for garbage? It's important for you to be careful what you say with your mouth. Death and life are two forces. You either release death or release life. Poison, you can release poison with your mouth. And so you need to be very careful. That's why the psalmist cried. Psalm 141 verse 3. He says, set a watch over my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. You see, if you want to live long, one of the things that will make you live long, your words. Your words. But the Bible says it in Psalm 34 verse 12 and 13. He says, who is it among you that desired life and loveth many days that he may see good? He did not say go to the gym. There's nothing wrong with going to the gym. But whatever other things you do, eat good diet. He said, who is it that desired life and loveth many days that he may see good? Then he says, let him refrain his mouth from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Go to the gym all you can. Eat the right food. Stretch in the morning. Take your vitamins. If your mouth is out of order, you shorten your days. There is a way in which recklessness through our mouth can make us live only half of our days. God told Israel, as you have spoken in my ears, that's what I'm going to do. Luke 19:22. He said, out of your mouth will I judge you, you unfaithful servant. Matthew 12:37 said, by your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. I'm trying to let you see the power of words. You see, because many times in Christianity, we are looking for prayer. We are looking for someone to lay hands on us. We are looking for someone to give us some anointing oil or mantles. But for as long as your mouth is out of order, you are out of order. For as long as you cannot bridle your mouth, your religion is in vain. For as long as you cannot keep your mouth in check, you reduce the number of days in which you live. So it's important for you to know there are five ways God wanted to use your mouth. And I'm going to state them very quickly. Number one, God wants you to use your mouth for him. Use your mouth for God. How can I use my mouth for God? Evangelism. How can I use my mouth for God? Use your mouth to invite people to church. Untold millions are still untold. Multitude and multitude are in the valley of decision. And the day of the Lord draw near in the valley of decision. When last did you use your mouth for God? Use your mouth for God. He gave it to you. And the best way is for you to show appreciation by using it for him. The Bible says, these people have I formed for myself, Isaiah 43:21. They will show forth my praise, which means I made them for myself. God gave you your mouth. One of the reasons why he gave you is not just because of you, but because of him. He wanted to use your mouth for him. So wherever you go, put your mouth to use for God. Put your mouth to use in whatever little way, leave a word behind. In whatever little way, talk to somebody about Jesus. Invite your neighbor, your friends, your colleague. Use your mouth for God. Use your mouth to decree and to proclaim God's goodness in the land of the living. Number one, use your mouth for God. Number two, use your mouth for yourself. Use your mouth for yourself. When you get saved, you use your mouth for yourself. Use your mouth for yourself. Don't say things about yourself that you don't want to happen. Don't say, I am dead, I've died. Don't use your mouth against yourself. Use your mouth for yourself. When you got saved, you use your mouth for yourself. How can I use my mouth for myself? Confess God's word in your life. He said it this morning. I'm going forward. I'm getting better. I'm breaking new territories. I'm exceeding limits. I'm breaking barriers. My coast is enlarging. When you wake up in the morning, some dangerous confessions. Some dangerous, calling those things that be not as though they were. I am the head, I'm not the tail. I'm above only, I never beneath. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Whatsoever things I lay my hand on prosper, I cannot be conquered, I cannot be defeated. For me to fail, God will have to fail, and God cannot fail. I cannot fail. I have the best marriage in the world. I have the best husband in the world. I have the best wife in the world. I have the best children in the world. You call those things that be not as though they were. Use your mouth for yourself. Learn how to use your mouth for yourself. Try and make sure that the devil does not get things from your mouth that he can use against you. Give God capital with which he can do business. The Bible said in Psalm 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So I'm the redeemed of the Lord. So, and I declare, I say so, I'm redeemed of the Lord. I don't lack. My God supply my need. The lies have fallen unto me in prison places. Wherever I go, whatsoever things I lay my hand on, I prosper. I am the God's idea. Everything about me is working according to his determinate counsel. Everything about me is working out in his purpose. Use your mouth for yourself. As a member of this church, use your mouth for this church. Oh, we are victorious house. Don't say, you know, we are a small church. When you say such things, you are stifling things in the spirit. Give words to God. Let him take it out. When he was going to create the heavens and the earth, what did he use? Words. Words. You see, the more you use your mouth for your church, the more attractive your church looks. Oh, this choir is the worst choir. Oh, this choir is sing off key. And the more you say those things, the more they become like that. Oh, this guy, this child is an idiot. He's a moron. I don't know this guy. Where did this child come from? Am I the one who delivered you? Are you my seed? Use your mouth for yourself. If you have an option to use your mouth, use it for God. Number two, use your mouth for yourself. Number three, use your mouth against the devil. The Bible says whatsoever things you bind on earth, he's bound in heaven. And whatsoever things you lose on earth, is loosed in heaven. Use your mouth against the devil. The Bible talks about the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. All of them are from words. The shield of faith is when you use the word God has given you to protect yourself. When the devil says you die, say, I will not die but live. That's the shield of faith. I will not die but live. When the devil says you are going down, well, you say, I'm going down only to come up again. The devil said, well, this is a setback. Tell him there's going to be a comeback very soon. The devil said, you are going to be buried under. Tell him there will be a great resurrection. Use your mouth against the devil, both as a shield of faith and then sword to pierce the devil. When you take God's word and quote it to the devil, that sword, you tell the devil, I know you have been defeated already. God has given me authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Use your mouth against Satan. Don't use your mouth in his favor. Don't let the devil get something out of your mouth that he can use against you. You know, always don't give him things he can use against you. Don't say things, oh, I'm so poor, I'm broke, you know. I'm down and out, you know. I'm tired like a dog, you know. Tell him, the spirit of the Lord is in me. If the spirit of God that raised up Christ from the dead dwelleth in me, that same spirit will quicken my mortal flesh. Use your mouth against the devil. At times I sit down and I just talk against the devil. I tell him that your kingdom has come to an end. I overcome you by the blood of the Lamb and the blood of my testimony. Everything about my family is working according to God's divine order. We are not out of shape. We are not out of form. Everything is getting better. You are going to see our manifestation and you'll be overwhelmed by the things God will do with our life. Use your mouth against the devil. Use your mouth for God. Use your mouth for yourself. Use your mouth against the devil. Number four, use your mouth in every situation. Every situation. Every situation where you find yourself. Your legs can be tied. Your hands can be tied. But your mouth is never tied. That is something you can use for yourself. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? You can use your mouth. I fear no evil. For you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest it. Use your mouth in every situation. In the good time and the bad. In the good time, use your mouth to praise him. To glorify him. In the bad time, use your mouth to pray. Use your mouth to pray. Don't use your mouth to complain. Use your mouth positively. Is any among you afflicted? He did not say let him talk about his problems. He said, is any among you afflicted? Let him what? Pray. Use your mouth in every situation. Every situation, in the good time and the bad. When you are down to nothing, God is up to something. Use your mouth against the devil. Use your mouth in every situation. I mean, there are certain situations that I have no other thing that I can do except my mouth. Every other thing is like against me, but my mouth cannot be against me because I have a choice as to how to use my mouth. And then number four, use your mouth for other people. Number five, rather. Use your mouth for what? Other people. And that is what I'm here to do. I want to use my mouth for you as a church. This is one of the authorities that I know I have as a Christian and as a minister, as an apostle, is to use my mouth for other people. I've used my mouth for the barren. I've used my mouth for the defeated. I've used my mouth for the people who start out small. I've used my mouth for the disappointed. I've used my mouth for people all the days of my life. And this is because of some reasons I'm going to share with you right now. Use your mouth for other people. Your mouth is given to you to use for God. Given to you to use for yourself. Given to use against Satan. Given to use in every circumstance. And given to use for others. You don't just have your mouth for yourself. You have it for others. Happy is a man who's got people around them who use their mouth for them. People who use their mouth for you. You need people who are going to use their mouth for you. People who understand the authority of the mouth. Who know how to dip their tongue in the ink of God's word and speak. And speak. One member of our church was going through a serious financial issue. And so he set up this company, you know. And he had no customers. So he told me to come there to pray. I went there. I looked around. I walked. He was following me. He had mantles in one corner, some intercessors in one corner, a big bottle of oil, almost as big as this thing, in one corner. And he looked at me and then he said, "Sir, I just want to come to this place." And I looked at him and I said, "It is well." He looked at me and said, "What do you mean?" I said, "It is well." Isaiah 3:10 says, "See unto the righteous, it shall be well with him." I said, "It is well." And I walked out. He followed me. He said, "But I called you here to come and pray." And he said, "You don't say it is well." So I said, "Is it not well?" So I walked away. He was so disappointed, he reported me to anybody who wanted to listen. He was going, "I'm going to leave your church." He didn't know that one of the things I did was the most important thing I can do. He wanted me to pray to the air, empty prayers. He wanted me to drink oil or share the oil with other people. He wanted me to join the prayer. But he didn't know that the highest thing that God did was to use his mouth to create the heavens and the earth. He said, "Let there be light." And the Bible said, what? Did he pray? Did he fast? Someone said, "I will fast for you." Instead of fasting for me, just speak the word only. Heaven and earth will pass, but those words will never pass. Words are containers. They contain life. They contain victory. They contain change. They contain transformation. Again and again, I've used my word mouth for people. So I said, "It is well." And I went to my house. So this man came fuming. He said, "Hey, I did this, I did that." And he just came and said, "It is well." So he left and went back to the empty office. And he was on his bench crying. He was crying because he felt I had broken his heart. He felt I had disappointed him. He felt that, "Oh, look at this man. He just came and said, it is well." So while he was crying, someone was passing in front of his empty office. And the person saw the signboard, his signboard. And the person came in and said, "Can you do those things that are there?" It was in those days when the European community, EEC in those days, was just starting out to do things with governments in Nigeria and the government of Nigeria and some states. And so the man said, "Can you do those things that are written out there?" And the man said, "Yes, I can." You know, he was still crying. The man said, "I can." He said, "Can you follow me now? Because we need this thing to be done quickly. We need it to be done in latest 4 days' time." So the man followed. He followed, and so when he got to the place, they told him what they wanted him to do. He said he knew that it was just going to be something he could do with 5 million naira. So they asked him, "How much?" He said, 16 million. And so they said, "Okay, no problem, we'll give you." They gave him 9 million naira check on the spot. He ran to my house and said, "It is well, it is well, it is well." It is well. I mean, I've been in a situation like that when all I did was speak the word only. Speak the word only. It is not the size of your faith that matters, but the size of God in which you put your faith. Just speak the word. You see, it is being unbelieving believers. Why the children of Israel ever entered the promised land? Was because of unbelief. Hebrews 3:19 says they could not enter in because of their unbelief. And that is why my most important message to you, I want you to listen to me today. Because this thing I'm going to say, they are measurable. 5 years down the line, 3 years down the line, 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line, 20 years down the line. God wants me to use my mouth for people. And you too know this. God wanted to use your mouth for people. In what ways? 5 ways. There are 5 ways God wanted to use your mouth for people. Number one, he wanted to use your mouth to show courtesy. Use your mouth to show respect. Use your mouth to honor people. Honor people with the words of your mouth. Good morning, sir. Good morning, man. Good morning, sir. I love you, sir. Appreciate. Use your mouth for courtesy. Don't just say, shh, 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 shh. It's irritating to do that. Call a spade, and not an agricultural implement. Use your mouth to show courtesy. Show courtesy. Some people are so rude. How? Through the words of their mouth. Use your mouth to show respect. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men. So use your mouth to show courtesy. Use your mouth to show respect. It's so important. Use your mouth to show courtesy. You know, when you are an usher at the door of a church, when people come in, speak. Don't stop nodding like a lizard. Stop nodding like an agama lizard. A man came to our church today. He's a deacon in our church. He stayed in our church because of what the usher said at the door. The man had lost his job for almost like 3 years. His wife had left him and gone back to the village because of the suffering in the city. So the man was passing in front of our church and he said, well, let's see. So he came through the door. This girl, 17-year-old girl, just 100 level in the university, saw this man. I said, wow, this is the day the Lord has made. You will rejoice and be glad in it. You will never be the same again. You're welcome, sir. I appreciate you, sir. And the man stood there and was drinking what the girl was saying. The man said, I loved everything she said. To the point that when I entered in and I said, I said, I didn't even hear your message. It was what the girl told me at the door that I was re-echoing in my mind. Use your mouth to show courtesy. There are certain people who feel low and down. When you say the right things to them, it sort of helps them to feel fine, to feel better. You know, at times, even what you say, because people are suffering from various kind of maladies, low of self-esteem. People are suffering from rejection. And when you use your mouth to show courtesy, it adds value to them. It makes them feel great. It makes them feel fine in church. That's why I tell people, treat people right in church. So use your mouth to show what? Courtesy. Number two, another thing you need to do to use your mouth for is that use your mouth to show sympathy. 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 Someone has lost something, use your mouth to say, oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Very sorry about that. At times, that is what people need from you. They don't need any money. Sympathy. Sympathy. I remember about 3 months ago, one member of our church, a 64-year-old man, came to me on Sunday morning and said, my father died. 64-year-old man. I felt like giving him a knock on his bare head. I said, oh, sorry about that. Oh, how old was he? He was 92. Wow. 64-year-old man crying that a 92-year-old man died and now complaining to me on Sunday morning. What do you think I should do? Is it not killing him? But you use your mouth to show sympathy. I said, wow, blessed are they that die in the Lord. He said, yes, sir. For they will rest from all their labor. Yes, sir. I said, the man must have lived a very wonderful Christian. I said, yes, sir. He was literally dying in our church. Oh, yes, sir. He said, you know how I feel? I said, yes. See, I was telling somebody and they said, I too should have died by 64. Use your mouth to do what? To show sympathy. Oh, you are still single. Oh, you lost that pregnancy. Oh, you missed out on that interview. Sorry about that. So, you see, that one has a soothing effect. A soft tongue breaketh the bones. Not to say, how do you expect them to give you employment? You who don't have papers. Why will you get a job? Use your mouth to show sympathy. You know, because that is what some people need to pick up themselves. They don't need any other thing but use your mouth. You see, because we don't know the treasure that our mouth represents. And many, many times you have so many other messages for people, but you don't have the correct message. Use your mouth to show courtesy. Use your mouth to show sympathy. And then number three, use your mouth to be honest with people. Be honest. Some of us need people who are going to call a spade and not an agricultural mm-hmm. implement. They will not call it spiritual problem, they will call it demonic problem. People are going to be honest. You need honest people. The reason why things go so bad for some people is that for a long time, those who tell you the truth did not tell you the truth. If you want people to grow, Ephesians 4:15, Ephesians 4:25, if you want people to grow and you want, is you need to be honest with them. Paul was speaking to the Galatian Christians, says, have I now become your enemies because I tell you the truth? Tell people the truth. I mean, there are some women, I always tell them, look, the kind of figure God has given you, you should not be wearing trousers. It's a mistake. Don't wear trousers again. That's the truth. Now, I used to wear suit and all that. It was somebody who told me, I said, Daddy, you know, with this kind of stomach God has gifted you with. He said, wearing suit does not fit you, sir. He said, because this, instead of six pack, you have one pot. He said, I think some other kind of form of dressing will fit you better. It was like injection to the heart. But you know, it let me really thought about it. And I said, well, that's actually going to simplify my life. Instead of tie, coat, three-piece suit, and color combination, let me just wear, you know, if I want to get ready for church in 15 minutes, I'm ready. But in those days of tie, after the tie, then the cufflinks, you can't even locate where it is, you know. So what I'm saying is this, the third way you use your mouth for people is by being honest with them. Talk to them honestly. Let them know the truth. Even if you are going to risk your friendship, there are certain truths you need to tell a wife who is misbehaving to the husband. There are certain things you need to tell a husband who is misbehaving to the wife. There are certain things you need to tell parents who are not bringing about their children in the way of the Lord. There are certain things you need to tell them. And all of us need a little bit of truth. Truth is bitter, but the effects are positive. So use your mouth to show courtesy. Use your mouth to show sympathy. Use your mouth to be honest. Then number four, use your mouth to affirm. Affirm people. Affirm people. When you see someone with a good hairstyle, say, this hairstyle is good. It's not because of anything. It's not because you are greedy or you covet it. You are affirming it. A woman is in our church today. She happens to be a highly placed pharmaceutical person in the country. I never knew that. She just came to our church and she was so well dressed. You know, she combined all the colors dangerously. When I saw her, I said, wow. I've never met her before. I said, wow. I said, I've never seen someone who can combine all the colors like a peacock. This is great. You must be a wonder. And he was there blushing. I was affirming her. And by the time she spoke, I said, that English is good spoken English. Where did you train? Oh, I trained in so-and-so university, and I went to master's, and I did PhD. Oh, you did PhD? My God, I love intelligent women. I have found that. She stayed in the church because of that. She stayed in the church because of that. You see, people are coming from outside there where they have been beaten. They've been told they are nothing. They've been told they are useless. Wives have been rejected by the husband who told them, you are a useless thing. You are the greatest tragedy that ever happened since I got married. I lost control. They have had that. When they come to church, everybody's got something good about them. Don't let us major on what is wrong with people. Let's major on what is right about them. I remember about 3 Sundays after, the man came with the husband to me. And I said, so you are the husband of this woman. Oh, you are so blessed. The man said, why, sir? Why, sir? I said, your wife. He said, look at her. Just look at her. She's a pride of any woman. I said, a good woman is the crown of the husband. The man said, as I was affirming her, the woman said, he doesn't know what he has. Huh? He doesn't know what, you know, and strangely today they are no longer together. You need to learn how to affirm people. He doesn't belittle you. He doesn't take anything out of you. You know, when you see a church, oh, this church is good, this building is fine, your music great. Every church has got something about them. You know, it could be their hospitality, it could be their protocol people, it could be their media. Every church has got something good. Because some people don't see anything good about anybody. You know, and this is because you don't know the place of your mouth. You castigate people, you despise them. The word of God says in Proverbs 14:21, he that despises his neighbor sinneth. Proverbs 11:12, he that despises his neighbor is someone with wide wisdom. So learn how to affirm people. Learn how to do what? Affirm. At times I tell some people, when I see some young men who are well-dressed, I said, wow, I love the way you are dressed. When I grow up, this I want to look. And they would laugh about it, but the point has been made. Which means they are cute, you know, they are cute. Learn how to affirm people. Something about somebody needs to be affirmed. Look at the person on your left and right. Can you see anything good about them? Say one or two things about them. Your dress is okay. Your smile is sweet. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Ah, ha, ha. I love your size. You look like a man mountain, a giant in the land. I don't know how Goliath looked, but you look better than Goliath. You know, all you know, I learned to use my mouth for people, to affirm them. Because people need a little bit of encouragement so that they can do better. You see, that woman became so conscious that every Sunday she was always trying to beat herself. She would dress, and the first thing she does when you go, say, I just say, I say hello, daddy. I said, wow, wow. And she was savoring it. And you know what? Today, even after the divorce, you still see her look good. She smelled good. I talk about her perfume. Say, where do you get your perfumes from? He says, it's a combination, daddy. I use this, I use that, I use this, I mix it. I said, that's a combo, isn't it? You know, that's the most important message is the use of your mouth. And today, I want to use my mouth for this church. I want to say things over this church. That in the next 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you will see the visible effect of it. Yeah. Number five, the fifth way in which you can use your mouth for people is to bless them with it. Bless people with your mouth. So let me say this to you. Victory House, God bless you. Amen. God bless your family. Amen. God bless your businesses. Amen. God bless your effort. Amen. God bless your labor. Amen. God bless your basket. Amen. God bless your going and coming. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated. You will still receive more. Use my mouth. Over the years, whether in Australia or New Zealand or Papua New Guinea or Somalia or Lesotho, I have used my mouth and I have seen that it produces effect. Because the word I speak, they are not mine. Jesus said it in John 14:10. He says, it's the Father that dwelleth in me that doeth the works. All he will do was speak the word. Speak the word only. He maketh the barren woman to keep a house. I looked at a woman in our church who has been waiting on God for 18 years. And I looked at her one day and said, you will be a fruitful vine beside your husband's house. And your children shall be like only plants. She's got five children now, five. Just by speaking word. No other procedure. No fertilization treatment. Nothing except words. Words have a way of fertilizing. Words have a way of making you prop up. So we use our mouth to bless. That is one thing you need to learn how to do. Use your mouth to bless. Bless your children. Bless your business. Bless your home. Bless your family. Even bless your pastor. Bless your pastor. Say, Pastor, God bless you. You see, that's the best thing you can give to me. Not some silver or gold. Words are better than gold or silver. Words will do what silver and gold cannot do. Peter says, silver or gold have I none, but such as I have. Because you don't have silver or gold does not mean you don't have anything. One of my sons, Dominic, he called me from Australia. He was going through some issues, finances and all that. So he called me and said, Daddy, I need you to help me. I said, well, there are various kind of help I can give. The Bible says, be not far from me, O God, for trouble is near. Psalm 22, verse 11. You know, Psalm 108, verse 12 tells us about the help that God can make available. So he told me about his financial problem. So I started speaking to him. I started speaking words to him. I didn't have the silver or gold, but I had words. After I said, how much do you need? He said that I don't need money again. He said, the words you have spoken will produce money. He said, the words you have spoken have made me to be able to stand up and begin to think creatively about what I can do with my time and my energy. He came in 6 months later, he said, Daddy, I'm out of the debt. I said, what happened? He said, I just took those words and I inculcated them in my life. I started believing in myself again. I started believing in my dreams again. I was able to stand upright, and now I'm on my feet again. Words, words. You need to use your mouth to do what? To bless people. Let me give you 5 or 6 reasons why we need to bless people quickly. Five or six reasons why we need to use our mouth to bless. Number one, you need to use your mouth to bless others because it's the good and the right thing to do. It is a good and the right thing to do to use your mouth to bless people. So look at your neighbor and say, God bless you. I mean, when you say that, that's a good thing to do. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18. Deuteronomy 12, 25. Deuteronomy 12, 28. Deuteronomy 13, verse 18. It says, you have to do what is good and right. So when you say to somebody, God bless you, you are doing what is good and what is right. So your most important message every day to anybody is, God bless you. All right? My most important message to you, Victory House, is, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you exceptionally. God bless you outstandingly. God bless you. God bless you with everything needed for this level. God bless you with what is needed for the next level. God bless your marriages. God bless your plans. God bless your programs. God bless your relationship. God bless your connection. I say, God bless you. Be seated. I will explain the meaning of God bless you in a few minutes. Because when people say it, you don't know what they mean. I'm going to tell you the dimension, the ramification, the various aspects of that statement so that you can begin to absorb the reality and what it contains. When I bless people, why do God want me to do? Why do I need to bless others? Because it's a good and the right thing to do. Number two reason why I need to bless people with my mouth is because the word of God commands us to so do. Matthew 5:44. He says, love your enemies. He said, bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that will be children of your heavenly Father. If you read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, especially verse 9, it tells us about the fact that we should bless instead of, don't give reviling for reviling, don't give cursing for cursing, but contrarywise, blessing. So why should I bless others? Because it's a command. There is a command. God gave that command here. He told Moses, he said, tell Aaron that he should bless the children of Israel after these wise. Verse 24, he said, bless them after these wise and say unto them, the Lord bless you and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. Now, that is a command. Proverbs 13:13 says, he that despise the word of God shall be destroyed. He that hearken to the commandment shall be rewarded. Deuteronomy 12:32. Whatsoever I command you, that shall you do. So the second reason why you need to bless people is because God have commanded you to do so. Number three reason why you need to bless people is because of our position as priests. Every child of God is a priest. You know, here, God did not tell Moses to bless the people. He told Moses to tell who? Aaron. Aaron was a high priest. As a child of God, Revelation 1:6 says, you and I are priests to our God. You are priests. When you pray for somebody, you are a priest. When you pray for, at times you can say, I'm praying for daddy to get saved. At times what you need to do is to speak it to him. Daddy, you'll be saved. Daddy, you'll not die in sin. You will make it, daddy. God will redeem your soul from destruction. God will lift you out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set your feet on a rock to stay and put a song in your mouth. You know, daddy, it is well with you. Daddy, you need to use your... You see, the third reason is because we are priests. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So you and I are priests. And as priests, God here was telling Moses to tell Aaron and his children to bless. One of the things any priest does is to bless. I mean, in our church, they know this. Whenever I'm home, for whatever reason, they know that something will happen. Why? Because I will bless as a priest. I will raise up my hand. Even if I don't preach, just bless for 5 minutes. Speak the word only. Just bless me. Just bless me. I was in Sheraton Hotel. Whenever I'm in Lagos, I stay in Sheraton. So I was in Sheraton Hotel. And a little woman who was, in those days, they allow women still to clean the rooms. You know, they no longer allow them. It's now men they use in Nigeria. I know here you still use women, you know, because there are rules and regulations here in that place. Only God knows what will happen. So this woman looked at me one day and said, I perceive you are a man of God. I said, no, just clean up. She said, no, please. He said, I will not let you go unless you bless. He said, just say something. Say something. I looked at her. What can I say? I said, tell me your story. She told me, she said, you know what happened was that I fell in love with this man. My family, they were against it. My family said I should not marry the man. Eventually, I eloped. And this man pregnated me, and we had 3 children. One day, I just woke up, and I can't see the man anymore. He said, I don't know where the man has gone to. He said, I've tried to look for him. He said, my brothers who are senior. I have a brother who works in NASA in the United States. I have a brother who works in Germany. I have a brother who works in the UK. He said, but all of them, because of the way I behaved, they've forsaken me. They're no longer interested in me. He said, say something, daddy. Just say something. I looked at her like this. Silver or gold have I none. But I used my mouth to bless her. I said, be blessed in the name of Jesus. I used to know a man known as Lester Sumrall. He used to live in Indiana, very close by here, South Bend, Indiana. The only thing Lester Sumrall says to anybody is, be blessed. That's all. He doesn't say more than that. You come to him, I have a problem with my marriage, be blessed. You come to him, I have a problem with my children, they are very wayward, be blessed. So I asked him one day, I said, what is all this you are always saying? Is it because you are lazy to pray? He said, in that statement, be blessed, is everything and all things that a person needs. So I said to you, be blessed in Jesus' name. I say, be blessed in Jesus' name. 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 Be blessed in your coming. Be blessed in your going. Be blessed in your effort. 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 Be seated. Why should we bless people? We are commanded. Why should we bless people? We are priests. We are priests. And as a priest, one of the things you have is blessing. I just blessed this girl. That was all. I forgot about it. 6 months later, I was back in Sheraton. So I just asked somebody, I said, by the way, I'm asking for Veronica. Where is Veronica? Somebody said, Vero? About 3 months ago, Vero's big uncle, way there for America, just come for Obodo, America, and took Vero and the 3 children to the American embassy. Because this man works in NASA. He has the clout. He just took all of them to the American embassy and got visa for them. And he said, they're there for Vero, don't go Obodo, Ibo. I said, just because of what? Someone said something. Whatever has been impossible in your life, I say it's possible. Whatever have been difficult, it will be easy. Whatever doors have shut, I command them open. Whatever things have been crooked, I command them straight. I command your glory back to you. Your beauty come back to you. The favor of God surround you. The joy of God fill your heart. The change you desire happen to you. Whatever limit is there, I command them broken. Whatever barricade, I command them removed. Whatever hindrance, I command them removed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be seated. So I'm using my authority as a priest. Using my authority as a priest. A bank manager, one of our bank managers in the lorry, I still talked to her about 3 days ago. She came, I just invited her one day. I said, we're having an Easter Faith Convention. Will you come? She said, okay, daddy, you're inviting me. So she came. So after she came, I now asked her, what about your husband? He said, my husband and me, our case is irredeemable. I said, what happened? He said, the man is in the U.S. now. He said, then he explained to me how everything was complicated and all that. And I said, do you want him back? He looked at me. He said, is it possible? I said, of course. I said, with men, certain things are impossible, but not with God. She said, okay, sir. Okay, sir. I don't know. But he said, everybody have tried everything. I said, because they are everybody and they don't know what to use. my most important message to you. I command whatever have shut the door of progress in your face to be removed in the name of Jesus. I say, go forward. Go over to the other side. What is impossible become possible. What have been delayed, I command them released. Released in Jesus' name. Divine acceleration, take over from divine delay. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command you to grow in your business. Grow in your effort. Grow in your effort. Grow in the seed you sow. In the name of Jesus. Be seated. So I spoke to her. Out of the blues. 1 year after, the man came back begging. This is a man that, when he came back, said, hey, daddy must hear this. Daddy must, you are begging me to come back. Ah, daddy must hear this. She brought the man to my house. He said, daddy, you know, you said it last Easter. The man has come back. Oh. So I asked the man, are you back for it? The man said, yes. I said, how come? The man said, about 6 months ago, I just started looking at my life. And I felt it was completely out of place. God will touch that person for you. God will touch that person for you. He will turn the heart of kings in your favor. The heart of kings in your favor. Those who have the authority to approve it will approve it. Those who have authority to work for it will work for it. Whatever it is, receive it. Whatever you have waited for, receive it. Your joy, I command it to restore. Your peace, I command it to restore. Your ability to make it, I command it to restore. Whatever is hindering you, I command it lifted. I command it lifted. I command it lifted in the name of Jesus. This authority I've used it for churches, used it for homes. The woman is now with the husband in Michigan. I mean, she told me, he said, against the law of grace. She came to church and gave a testimony. He said, this kind God, oh, I never see your type. Oh, this kind God, oh. He said, all that he did, speak the word. You know all those paraphernalia, waste of time. When you know what your mouth carries, you know the power in God's word, and you speak it with understanding and authority, you see a difference. The most important message you need is a word from God. It's a word from God. Peter said, we have toiled, or many of you have toiled and caught nothing. I speak now, begin to profit. Amen. Begin to make it. Amen. Begin to succeed. Begin to succeed. You no longer labor in vain. You will enjoy the labor of your hand. You will enjoy your investment. You will enjoy your effort. The reward is coming your way. The beauty is coming back. The joy of labor is coming back. The joy of harvest is coming back. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Be seated. Why should we bless people? Number four, because that is what we want others to do to us. How many of you want us to say, God bless you every day? If that is what you want, then show it. Matthew 7:12, as you want men to do to you, even so do to them. In this church, let our mode of greeting be, God bless you. God bless you. That's the mode of greeting. Even in my own family, my wife sees me in the morning. We wake up in the morning. The first thing she's going to say is, God bless you, my husband. As a wife, what I said to her is, God bless you, my wife. Today, before I came, we already said that. It's a basic thing we share every day. We release those words. And I'm going to explain what those words mean in a few minutes. So why should I bless? Because that is what I want people to do to me. Let your seed be an indication of what kind of harvest you expect. How many of you want people to bless you? Now look at your neighbor and say, God bless you. Look at somebody else and say, God bless you. Say, God bless you to somebody else. Say, God bless to somebody else. Do you know that is the best thing you can do for anyone? It doesn't cost you anything. It's cheap. Just say it from the heart. I mean it. And see what their lives will turn out to be. And see what their lives will turn out to be. Number five, why should I bless others? Because that is what God will do if you are here. God told Aaron, he told Moses, tell Aaron to bless, and in that way put my name upon them. When you bless them, you activate something. When you bless somebody, you are doing it because if God were here, that's what God will do. God will bless his own people. Number six, because of time, why should I bless? You need to bless because of the power of words. the power of God. So, words are powerful. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. When words enter into a situation, they change that situation. Words contain value, contain power. All right. I haven't said that because of time. I just want to round up in a few minutes here. What does somebody mean when they say God bless you? What do they mean? When I say God bless you today and continually, whenever I say God bless you, what do I mean? And please don't shorten it to GBU. Say it completely. You know, when you shorten your name, you reduce the power. When your name is Emmanuel, you don't say Emma. What's the meaning of Emma? Emma means nothing. Or your name is Oluwa Di, or Ladi Kupo. You don't say Ladi. Ladi means nothing. What does Ladi mean? Ladi actually means to come to be scrapping something at the back there. But Oladi, which means, you know, greatness has become bountiful. So always use the language completely. And for those of you who have shortened your name to Dipo, what's the meaning of Dipo? Make sure you call the name totally the way it is. Full mouth. Make sure you call it because of the power of words. Now, when you say God bless you, I want to share with you 6 or 7 things that it means so that you know the implication of that statement. I told you this is my most important message to you as a church. I may not be able to give you a dollar, but I have this thing. It's here. It's authority. In Bible days, children will struggle for their parents' statement. They fight. They cheat each other. You remember? You remember Esau and Jacob? You saw how they did that? You remember Cain and Abel? You see, because they know the power of statements, the power of words, the power of spiritual covering. When spoken, there's a lot in it. In fact, if a husband blessed the wife, I remember when my wife was going to go and deliver her first child. A lot of complications. They said she was going to do a cesarean section. I said, she will not. I laid my hands on her and I blessed her. I said, Hebrews 7:7 says, the less is blessed by the better. I blessed her. I said, the Bible says you'll be delivered in childbirth if you continue in faithfulness, holiness, and sobriety. And I speak to God here as the authority covering authority over your life that you will go to that hospital and come back. And you will not be touched by blade, either in death or life. I spoke those words to her, and she went. They told her that the baby's head was up. They call it breech. And the legs were down. By the time she got to the hospital, the examiner said, the baby has turned, though. Now that is the power of blessing. It makes everything turn. When we sing that song, I can see everything turning. I command with the words of my lips everything to turn around for your good. Turn around in your favor. 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 Turn around in the favor. The last chapter is that we won. You will overcome. You will succeed. You will make it to the end. Whatever it is will give way. Their loss will give way. Their rules will give way. God will raise up help for you. In the place where you need help, somebody will be there to meet you. Helper of destiny, a sustainer, an enabler. They will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. They will clear the way. They will make it easy for you. In the name of Jesus, be seated. What does God bless you mean? The word bless in Greek is the word makarios. M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S. The word blessed in Hebrew is the word barak. So when someone says God bless you, what do they mean? Number one, the first meaning of that statement among the Hebrews, when someone said, God bless you, they said, I am wishing you supreme happiness. Supreme happiness simply means, I'm wishing that what will happen around you, concerning you, and with reference to that situation, will make you happy. Happiness is based on happenings. So if someone says, God bless you, they say, I am wishing you supreme happiness. Which means happiness, the type that you cannot have words to describe. As a family, as a church, as an individual, I say it, God bless you. I say, 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 God bless you. Nothing of sorrow will be named with your name. Nothing that depressed people will be your lot. What will happen in your marriage? What will happen in your finance? What will happen with your health? What will happen in your mental life, in your emotional life, will make you happy in the name of Jesus. I say, God bless you. I say, God bless you. Be seated. So that's the first thing. When I say God bless you, it means I wish you supreme happiness. Happiness that make your feet to dance. Happiness that make you jump for joy. Happiness that make the voice of gladness and rejoicing not to cease from your tabernacle. That is what it means to bless you. So when I say God bless you, what I mean is that whatever has been making you unhappy is lifted. Whatever has been making your joy not to be full is lifted. Whatever has barricaded you and made you feel inadequate is lifted. I say God bless you. I say God bless you. Number two. When someone say God bless you, what do they mean? The second thing that means is, this is my wish and my prayer, that you will experience the warmth of God's good pleasure. In other words, God will be pleased with you. The warmth of God's good pleasure. There are two things. Either the heat of God's wrath or the warmth of God's good pleasure. Psalm 51 verse 18, he said, do good, O God, in your good pleasure. When God saw Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:11, he will see the travail of his soul and he'll be satisfied. When in one's way, please the Lord. When somebody said, God bless you, they said, I wish that you will feel the warmth of the fact that God is pleased with you. You see, when God is pleased with you, he promotes you. He projects you. He advertises you. That is one thing I have experienced in my life. All the places I have gone to, I didn't even know people there. God recommended me. People have virtually invited me who have never met me. I remember when I was invited for the first time to Jamaica some years ago. You know, the man had never seen me. All the man did was that he listened to one tape that I preached. And the man said, wow, who this man? He must come to Jamaica. And the man took it upon himself. That's what it means to be blessed. When a man's way make a way for you through the wilderness. When God makes a way for you through the... When God makes for you streams in the desert. When things that people say cannot be done is done easily. It's done without cost to you. It's done without you meriting it. So the man invited me. And when I got to Jamaica, the entire Pentecostal Assembly of Jamaica, they had a plaque that we are holding in their hand to welcome me. Man of God, you are welcome, Reverend. So when I saw it, I walked to them and said, that's my name. The man said, no, it cannot be. I said, why? He said, look, the person we're expecting is not small like this. I said, yes, the person we're expecting is big. He's inside here. I like that song. You are God. You are not just big. You are not just large. You are a great God. You will experience the greatness of God. Amen. You will experience the might of God. Amen. You will experience the wonderful nature of God. Amen. When someone said, God bless you, he said, I wanted to experience the warmth of God's good pleasure. Number three, when someone say God bless you, what do they mean? I love this one. It means may God make you large. You know what it means to be large? So when I say God bless you this morning, you know what you are going to do? You are going to do like this, enlargement. So when I say God will build a pretty house, enlarge. God will bless your business, enlarge. God will bless your house, enlarge. Psalm 4 verse 1 says, in my distress, I was enlarged. Paul was talking to the Corinthian Christians. 2 Corinthians 6:11 says, be ye therefore, he said, be enlarged. Psalm 119 verse 32, he said, I will run in the way of thy commandment when thou hast enlarged my heart. You know what means to be enlarged? It means God will magnify you. That was what happened to me when I went to Jamaica. The man looked at me and said, ah. He said, you are the one for real. I said, yes, ah. He said, what we are expecting is a great man of God. Ah. I said, I'm a man with a great God. But you see, he was so shocked. He was so shocked. But you see, that was what God did to Joshua. Joshua was a house boy. But when God touched him and blessed him, God enlarged him. God told him in Joshua 3:7, he said, I will magnify you in the eyes of the people. Joshua 4:14, he said, and the Lord magnified Joshua in the eyes of the people. Joshua 6:27. He said, and the fame of Joshua spread abroad. You know, your fame can spread abroad. Your fame can spread abroad. So when I say God bless you, what I'm saying is enlargement. Have it at the back of your mind, enlargement. So God bless you, Victory House. Enlarge. God bless your family. God bless your store. God bless your basket. God bless you on all sides. God bless you on all sides. God bless you on all sides. God bless you in all things. God bless you in every way. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Be seated. You know what that means? When someone says, God bless you, you say enlargement. Which means I will expand. I will have dominion. I will increase. People will get to hear about me. Your fame will spread. That is my most important message to you. Victory House, you will be enlarged. Amen. Victory House, you will be enlarged. Amen. You will be enlarged. Amen. I say be enlarged. Amen. I say be enlarged. Amen. I say be enlarged. Amen. 1 year from today, you will have moved so far from where you are today. Amen. Look, what you have today in size, you will soon have that same number in the choir. Yeah. Everybody say enlargement. Yeah. Say enlargement. Yeah. Say enlargement. Yeah. God bless you. Yeah. God bless you. Yeah. God bless you. Yeah. Be seated. So we are operating at a very small level. Small level. From a learning, God expanded me to all the six continents. I'm not a prophet nor a prophet's son. I never had a big daddy in the Lord who was taking me around. God was one blessing. God told Abraham, Isaiah 51:2. He said, I called Abraham alone, I blessed him and increased him. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 8. He said, I have redeemed you and you will increase even as you have increased. God is a God of enlargement. That was what Jabez prayed for. He said, oh, that you may enlarge my coast, enlarge my business. Some of you are doing business under the house. Little business. I say, be blessed in the name of Jesus. 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 Be seated. Number 4. This is my most important message. If I don't succeed at any doing anything, I'm leaving some deposits behind. All you need to do is water it. Water it. When you have your father's blessing, you can go anywhere. Even when Jacob went to be under Laban, he prospered. Everywhere he went, he was prospering. There is nothing like the land will not yield an increase. This land cannot but yield an increase. What you are doing cannot but yield an increase. Your labor will not be in vain. Your effort will not go unrewarded. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Number 4. When someone says, God bless you, what do they mean? It also means, may the Lord connect you. Connect you to sources that are unlimited. That is blessing. Where you are connected. Look, everybody say connection. Hey! God will connect with somebody that has a key to open the door that is shut in front of you. I know what connection is, my brother. God have used connection for me in some places, and I just stand. I said, I stand, you know. There are some connect, just one connection, and that's it. Any country I went to, it was through connection. So when I say God bless you, say connection. So be prepared for your next connection. Yeah. When David and Jonathan saw, God connected their hearts. There are some people, they will not leave you until they do what God told them to do. Yeah. Hey, your amen is weak. Yeah. Say it again. Yeah. They will not abandon you until they finish their work. Yeah. The person God will connect you to for your building will not leave you until he accomplishes it. Yeah. He will go out of his way to make sure it's accomplished. It will be a settled deal. He will use everything he has. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Be seated. This evening I'll be going somewhere for a building dedication. When they took me to that building the first time, when I looked at it, I asked them, I said, do you want this building? The person was like, say, yes, sir. I said, do you really want it? He said, yes, sir. I said, don't worry. I said, God will connect you to the people who matter. Do you know what happened? That building belonged to an old man. Do you know what happened? The children of that old man, on their own, went to this man of God and they told him, we want you to come and buy our father's house. Come and buy the building. So he told me, I said, well, what do you expect? It's connection we are talking about. Some doors have been shut. When God connects you, on their own, they will open the door for you. You have been seeking to enter into a business. You have been seeking to enter into a club, exclusive club. I say, God bless you. Connections that are dangerous. Just David and Jonathan, he said when they saw them, their heart was knit. Jonathan was supposed to hate David, but he liked him even more than himself. That can only be connection. Somebody somewhere will meet you before the end of this year that will solve that problem in the name of Jesus. God will connect you supernaturally. God will link you supernaturally. So God bless you. Connection. God bless you. I say God bless you. 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 Be seated. That's what you need. The business of living, we all need someone that will be connected to. When Jonathan's destiny was connected to Moses, a houseboy became the person who led them into the promised land. Houseboy. Houseboy. Naaman had leprosy. A house girl was one who connected him to destiny. Connected him to healing. A house girl. That's why you don't despise anybody. You don't look down on anybody. I know what God have done. One time I lost a lot of money through stock in Nigeria. Stock. I lost a lot of money. The money I lost was so terrible that I felt the world was going to come to an end. And then I went to New York City. I was preaching in a church known as International House, a branch of the Redeemed Christian Church of God in Bronx. And then I saw a man. I greeted him. He greeted me. So he said, sir, my name is so and so. I said, Wood, that's good. I'm glad to meet you. He said, I came here when I saw the advert. I don't attend this church. He said, but something told me that I should be here, sir. He said, is there anything I can do for you? I said, of course. That's why God sent you here. Destiny help us. He'll make your way to cross. He said, sent there. I said, well, whatever, what's your mind? He said, I work in the presidency in Nigeria. I said, oh, that's good. I said, that's a good place to influence things. He said, there is a land that they put in charge of me to be selling. It's for special people. And it's 50 million per whatever it is. I said, hey, that's a good thing. He said, so give me 50 million. Ah, so 50 million is a lot of money. Oh. He said, don't worry, whatever you have, give. So I gave him 40. The man went and bought this land. It's a piece of paper. I didn't even see the land. He just sent me a piece of paper. But I trusted him. After about 5 months, he called me. He said, somebody wants to buy the land. You know how much they bought it for? 550 million. A sheet of paper. A sheet of paper. I can give you testimonies of dangerous connections like that. People will wipe away your tears forever. By one stroke of effort, whatever your regrets are will be wiped away. By one connection, God will redeem your losses. God will redeem your losses. God will redeem your losses. God will redeem the effect of your stagnation. I say, receive that connection. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Be seated. Connection. You know, at times you think it's the effort you put into it. He said, Paul planted, Apollo water. God gave the increase. It's not he that planted and received it, but he that watered. But God that gave the increase. I can say this, by this time next year, you will look back and you will thank God for one connection. Some of you who need a husband, receive the connection. Amen. Some of you need children, receive the connection. Amen. Some of you need your papers, approve, receive connection. Amen. I say receive connection. Amen. Receive connection. Amen. Be seated. For so many years, I was coming to the UK, 1989. So I went to Aberdeen. Was it Aberdeen? Yes. I was preaching there. So a lawyer who called to me and said, "Sir, how are you? Can I help you?" I said, "Of course you can. Since God has put it in your heart to ask me that question." People don't ask me that question. I said, "Once you ask me, you are in trouble." He said, "I can help you with the British passport." Just like that? From visitor's visa to British passport. So I looked at him and said, "Well, how would that be?" He says, "I'm licensed, whatever, with the British Home Office, and they have given me the right to recommend people of impeccable character who have been coming to this country for so many." I said, He said, "Give me your passport." I give it to him. He photocopied it. The next thing was that I received a call. "You need to come in for fingerprint." I said, "Fingerprint waiting." They say, "Your passport." Sincerely. At times you need such connections. It cannot, the man just came to me. In fact, after he did it, he disappeared. I didn't even know where he was. I couldn't reach him anymore. Collected a passport. And that's what I'm using to travel all over the place. No more visa. I can enter 146 countries without visa. When I looked at the passport, I said, "This thing is a gift from God." I asked him, "How did you do it?" He said, "Don't worry about that." I introduced him to somebody else. He has tried that one, it failed. Connection is different. Receive the connection you need. Receive the connection that will work for you. Receive the connection that works for you. Receive that connection that will bring favor. That connection that will bring joy. The connection that will bring upliftment. The connection that will bring change in your business, in your family, in your going and your coming, in your labor, in your investment. Receive the connection. Receive the connection. Receive the connection. Be seated. Connecting you to unlimited resources. Just with words of mouth. I went to Ottawa some years ago, Ottawa here in Canada. I sat down, one man tapped me. I said, "How was it?" He said, "I just came." He said, "You don't know me. I'm a lawyer. My name is so and so and so." He said, "God said I should give you 7 first class tickets to anywhere in the world you want to go to." I looked at him again. 7 first class tickets. Do you know how much that is? Say, "How much is that?" I said, $23 million. Because I know his ticket is about $3 million. I said, $23 million. The man gave me a check of $25 million there and then. He disappeared. Connection. The kind that you cannot even understand why God said you merit it, except God has spoken. I speak as somebody who have obtained favor. I speak from somebody who have experienced the reality of connection. I say, "Be blessed in Jesus' name." 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 Be blessed with abundance. Be blessed with increase. Be blessed with promotion. Be blessed with elevation. Be blessed with good surprises. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be seated. Let me give you one more. One more. When someone says, "God bless you," what do they mean? They mean be empowered to prosper. Be empowered, which means receive the power to prosper. Now, let me explain something here. For so long, the word prosperity has been abused. And people have thought that prosperity means money. But there are two words translate prosperity in the entire Bible. In Hebrew, it's the word shilash, T-S-A-L-A-C-H. And in Greek, it's the word euodo. E-U-O-D-O-O. Those two words simply means God's help. That's all. How many of you say, "I need God's help"? So when you say "God bless you," you are saying, "Give them help. The help you need." What is help? Help is that which is provided for you, which you cannot get for yourself, to do those things that are beyond you. You want to set up a business? You need help. You want to pass an exam? You need help. You want to buy a house? You need help. You need help. And so what will I say? Victory House, God bless you. Amen. Financial help is coming. Amen. Support is coming. Favor is coming. God is raising up men who will go out of their way, give you concessions, give you discounts, help you with what you want in the name of Jesus. You want to buy a house? God bless you. You want to marry? God bless you. You want to go forward? God bless you. You want to settle in this country? God bless you. I said, God bless you. I said, God bless you. What has been difficult become easy. What has been complicated become clear. Where you have been resisted, you'll be attracted. Where you have been blocked, they will open up to you. I say, God bless you. God empower you with success. God empower you with help. Receive needed help. Needed assistance. Receive help. Receive help. Receive help. Be seated. My most important message is God. That's all. And I want you to measure. If I be a man of God, I have spoken. 1 year's time from today, even by the evening of today, by the end of this week, by the end of this month, by the end of April, May, June, June, and July, you will see the fingerprints of God. Be seated. Let me give you this one. I don't want you to lose this one. When you say God bless you, you know what it means again? May the fingerprints and the footprints of God be visible in your life. Fingerprints and the footprints of God. People will see your life and say, this can only be God. They will see what will happen and say, this can only be God. This kind of thing don't happen easily. It can only be God. The blessing of the Lord maketh. What will make you in this city is not how long you walk. I always tell people, nobody has become rich by work. Proverbs 23 verse 4, he said, labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. Some people think, I need to walk, 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 walk. But except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build. Let the fingerprints. You know fingerprints? It means people will catch God at work in your life. Psalm 90 verse 17 says, let the beauty of God be seen upon us. Let the fingerprints and the footprints of God be visible in your life. I say, God bless you. Amen. People will see your children, they will see the fingerprints. Amen. People will see your finance, they will see the fingerprint. Amen. People will come into your church, they will see the fingerprint. Amen. In this place, the fingerprint of God will be commonplace. The footprints of God will be commonplace. People will look at your service and growth, they will see the finger of God. They will see the footprint of God. They will come to you from every quarter. From the north, they will come. From the south, they will come. From the east, they will come. From the west, they will come. The beauty of God will be seen upon you. The beauty of God will be seen upon you. Be seated. People will look at you and they will see the beauty of God. When they come here to Victory Temple, the first comers will see the beauty of God. They say, wow, I didn't know there was a church like this. I'm not looking for a church. Okay, this is where I belong. And that's why you need space. Genesis 26, 22 say, for now, the Lord has made room for us. We shall be fruitful in the land. Because of what I see about you. See, when I go to some churches, when I feel something, and when I feel it, I know you have an appointment with greatness. When I came here, I said, wow. I told somebody else, I said, I don't know. I said, well, when I got to that church, I felt something. When I came this morning, I felt it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, be blessed in Jesus' name. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Be blessed unusually. Be blessed unusually. Be blessed in unusual way. Be blessed in unusual abundance. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Be blessed with children. Be blessed with promotion. Be blessed with better jobs. Be blessed with increase. Be blessed with enlargement. The blessed with progress in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.